So good morning, everyone. Let's begin again with a short meditation. As always, we begin by preparing the body. So finding that nice, comfortable posture. The back straight. And allowing the entire body to become completely relaxed, completely at ease. Using the out-breath to relax and release any tightness or tension in any part of the body. And if you find it helpful, you can take 3 slow, deep breaths, maintaining awareness of sensations throughout the body as you breathe. And allowing the breathing to settle into its natural rhythm. Not trying to regulate or control the breath in any way. Setting the mind in a state of ease and relaxation. Not dwelling in the past, not anticipating the future. Simply allowing the mind to come to rest in the present moment. Through focusing on the sensations of the breath throughout the body. Let's begin this morning by cultivating empathetic joy, a rejoicing in our own and others' virtues and good fortune. So first bring to mind a person who you know well, who radiates joy and well-being. And as you focus on this person's joy, open your heart to that joy and take delight in it. Now think of someone for whom something wonderful has happened recently. And recall the delight of this person and share in this joy. Now direct your attention to someone who inspires you with their virtues, such as generosity, kindness, and wisdom. And rejoice in these virtues. Now direct your awareness to the timeline of your life, beginning with your earliest childhood memories. And bring to mind occasions when you embodied your own ideals, when you showed acts of kindness to others, and occasions where you were striving to become a better person. And take delight and rejoice in these virtues. So begin by moving slowly forward through your early childhood years, bringing some of these occasions to mind. And rejoicing. And then moving slowly through your early teenage years. And moving through the latter teenage years and early adulthood. And finally, moving slowly through your adult years up to the present day. once again, direct your attention to your past and recall the earliest kindness that you can remember experiencing in your early childhood years. And take delight in this other person's kindness that they showed toward you. And then gradually move your attention along the timeline of your life from this earliest memory through your childhood years into your adult years and right up to the present day. And recall the people who were kind to you, helped you and supported you in your life. And as you breathe out your delight, your gratitude that people have shown you such kindness, that they have brought such kindness to the world. So in this retreat, we're primarily focusing on three objects for the shamatha practice. The first, of course, was the breath. We spent the first few days working with the breath. The variations, of course, was the full body, noticing sensations anywhere in the body associated with the breath. Then we moved on to working with the abdomen, and then finally the nostrils. And then yesterday we moved to the second of the three objects, that was the mind. And that practice Alan Wallace calls settling the mind in its natural state. So there, of course, we were observing our own mind and any mental events arising in the mind. And that practice is particularly good for developing the ability to be the observer or witness of our own mind. So that therefore we can become the masters of our mind instead of the slaves of our mind. We are now often tormented by our own mind, often overwhelmed by our thoughts, emotions and memories, and we don't know how to deal with it. And our minds are really turbulent and chaotic. And so with this practice we did yesterday, not only will we cultivate a calm, clear, focused mind, we'll also really become the masters of our mind instead of the slaves of our mind. And it's also very much a healing practice, because often we have a lot of things that we're suppressing and not acknowledging. And in this practice, we allow things to come up, which means simply acknowledging a lot of these suppressed things can really be a healing process for us. And today, though, we're going to move on to the third of the three objects. Technically speaking, this is actually called shamatha without an object. But here today, what we're going to do is we're going to practice what's called awareness of awareness. Now, this is more subtle than the practice we did yesterday. So probably many of you found the practice yesterday quite challenging for a number of reasons. One is that the mind, of course, is a more subtle object than the breath. It's not some physical, tangible object. And also many of us have a very strong habit of always following our thoughts and emotions. So to sit back and simply observe them in the beginning stages may be not so easy. But again, there are enormous benefits with that practice from yesterday. And so if we have patience and enthusiasm for the practice, then as Shantideva says in his classic text, no matter how difficult something seems, everything with practice becomes easy. And today this practice is even probably a little bit more subtle than the practice from yesterday. And what are the advantages of this practice of resting in awareness? There are also, I think, a number of advantages for us, particularly in our modern day society. By resting in awareness, what we will come to experience and realize is that our mind is actually very spacious. Now, often our mind seems very small and constricted, and that's because we are contracting around appearances to our mind. So our mind often feels very small and constricted. Whereas if we just rest in awareness itself, we will come to experience the fact that the mind is actually limitless. It's very spacious. And thereby having that open, spacious mind in daily life can be very helpful, because we can remain in that open, spacious stillness in daily life in the midst of appearances and not contracting around appearances as we normally do. And also, of course, similar to yesterday, but even maybe more so this practice, and there was a question relating to this yesterday, is that simply by resting in awareness itself, we can actually really start to come to realize the nature of the mind, the nature of awareness. So this can be a bridge into the Vipassana practice. So simply by resting in awareness, sometimes we can sort of spontaneously come to this experience of realizing the nature of the mind. And of course, this is Vipassana practice, and that is going to then start to help us really to overcome mental affliction. So that's another big advantage with this practice. Now, what's the difference between the practice from yesterday and this practice? So in yesterday's practice, we are experientially, we have a sense of being this observer or witness, observing the mind and all the mental events that are arising in the mind. Whereas this practice today, the awareness of awareness, experientially, it's a much more non-dualistic practice. There's not really a sense of being a separate observer or witness. We are simply resting in awareness itself. And also, of course, in this practice, we're not interested in any appearances. Yesterday, of course, we were observing appearances. We were observing thoughts, emotions, and memories and so forth arising and passing, arising and passing. In this practice today, of course, appearances will still continue to arise, but in this practice today, we're not interested in any appearances. Of course, we're not trying to block appearances, but we're also not consciously observing appearances to the mind. We're simply ignoring them. We're simply resting in the experience of awareness itself. So let's have a little brief look at an introduction to this practice, reading a little bit from Alan Wallace's book, and then a few more comments before we go into the practice. So here he talks about it on page 131. Halfway down the page, or the last paragraph. If you wish to continue in settling the mind in its natural state, this practice can take you all the way to the achievement of shamatha. So remember, any of these objects that we use in this practice, we can use them all the way. So we can use the breath all the way to shamatha. We can use the practice from yesterday all the way to shamatha. But one of the options that Alan Wallace recommended in his book was that we could use, for example, the breath for the first four stages of the practice, then the next three stages to use the mind practice from yesterday, and then the last couple of stages to move to the awareness of awareness practice. But I shall now present an alternative practice that you may find an even more potent way to balance your attention to perfection. Padmasambhava, and Padmasambhava is the great Indian master from the 8th century who really brought Buddhism into Tibet initially. Padmasambhava calls this technique the cultivation of shamatha without a sign. In this context, the term sign refers to any object of attention that can be identified within a conceptual framework. The tactile sensations of the breath are a sign. So is the space of the mind and the mental events that arise within that space. In both those practices, the attention is directed to an object other than itself, and stability and vividness are cultivated in relation to that object. In the practice of shamatha without a sign, the attention is not directed to anything. It rests in its own nature, simply being aware of its own presence. Nominally, you could say that awareness takes itself as its object, but experientially, this practice is more a matter of taking no object. You simply let your awareness rest, without any referent, in its own innate luminosity and cognizance. While Padmasambhava presents this as a method for achieving shamatha, it is also an effective method for illuminating the nature of awareness itself. So as I said, is that even though this is a shamatha practice, simply by resting in awareness, we could come in spontaneously into an insight into the nature of the awareness or nature of the mind itself. We know, or at least we think we know, many things about our physical environment, other people, our bodies, our minds, and ourselves. But as scientists have repeatedly found over the past four centuries, many things of which we believe we have certain knowledge turn out to be illusory. Of what can we be absolutely certain? Very few scientists would claim such certitude about even their most rigorously tested findings. As Descartes and many other philosophers in the East and West have noted, the very existence of an independent, objective physical world may be called into question. Perhaps it too is an illusion. This is the basic premise of philosophical idealism. On the other hand, many materialists claim that all our subjective mental experiences are illusory, and most cognitive scientists have concluded that our normal sense of an autonomous self is an illusion. But in the midst of all these uncertainties, I propose that there is one kind of knowledge of which we can be absolutely certain: our knowledge of the presence of consciousness. Even if we are not sure there is a distinct observer, the self, it is unreasonable to doubt that conscious experience takes place. Without it, it would be impossible to doubt its existence. This is a more modest claim than Descartes' famous dictum, "I think, therefore I am." Thoughts occur, but that doesn't necessarily imply there is a separate agent called I. Moreover, as you discover in the cultivation of shamatha, there are times when thoughts are absent, but there can still be an awareness of that absence, with or without a separate observer who is conscious of that absence. It is also possible to be aware of being aware. Imagine the thought experiment of immersing yourself in a sensory deprivation tank that is so effective that you lose all sensory awareness of your body and physical environment. All you are left with is the space of your mind and the thoughts, images, desires, emotions, and so forth arising in that space. Now imagine that this space of awareness is voided of all contents. Even without a sign, that is, an object that you can identify conceptually and to which you can direct your attention, there can still be an awareness of the sheer luminosity and cognizance of being aware. The mind has been reduced to its bare nature, a relative vacuum state. But that emptiness is still illuminated by consciousness, and this awareness is innate, still, and vivid. The qualities of attention you have earlier been developing through the practice of shamatha are already implicit in the nature of awareness itself. They have just been waiting to be unveiled. So in this practice is more about... one of the reasons people find this practice quite difficult is this practice is more about being rather than doing. You know, we always want to do something. But in this practice, we're not really doing anything. We're just being. We're just resting in awareness. We're just being aware of being aware. And so people want to do something. What do I need to do? I have to do something. And so we're not used to just being present, just being aware. But that's all we really need to do in this practice, is just be aware of being aware. Now, what this is, as he's mentioned, is that we are really withdrawing from the outside world. You know, first we're in the breath practice, we're withdrawing from the external stimulus, and we're withdrawing into the body, into the breath. And then in the mind practice, we are withdrawing into the mind. And in all of those practices, of course, we're explicitly aware of the sensations of the breath, explicitly aware of the thoughts and so forth, but implicitly we are aware of being aware as well. And so we're simply withdrawing from all of those appearances into awareness of itself. So we simply are becoming explicitly aware of being aware, which was implicitly there all the time, that awareness. We're just making that explicit. So we're really just withdrawing from all appearances right into awareness itself. Now, to talk a little bit more about the practice in the book here, and then we'll do the practice. And this is on page 144. He says the following. Here are quintessential instructions by Padmasambhava on the practice of shamatha with no object apart from awareness itself. So now he's quoting from Padmasambhava. He says, vacantly direct your eyes in the space in front of you. So again, as with the mind practice of yesterday, very much recommended with this practice to have the eyes open, vacantly resting your gaze in the space in front of you, similar to yesterday. See that thoughts pertaining to past, future and present, as well as wholesome, unwholesome and ethically neutral thoughts, together with all the causes, assembly and dispersal of thoughts of the three times is just past, present, future, are completely cut off. Completely cut off here doesn't mean to block them, it just means not to engage in them, not to consciously observe them. Having no concepts to mind, bring no concepts to mind. Let the mind, like a cloudless sky, be clear, empty, and evenly devoid of grasping, and settle it into utter vacuity. By doing so, there arises the quiescence of joy, luminosity, and non-conceptuality. So, these are the three qualities of mind that I'll talk a little bit more about in the next session that we come to discover. So remember we said that we can have two perspectives of this sort of shamatha practice. First, there's the cultivation model where we're cultivating stability and clarity. So this is the sort of approach we have in the breath practice and a little bit the mind practice. But here in the awareness practice, it's not so much of cultivating stability and clarity, but it's more about discovering the stability and clarity that's already present in awareness itself. So this is sort of really the perspective we're having in this practice. So this is what we're going to do in the practice. In this first session, we're just going to do one short session now before the break. And in this first session, we are going to go through a little bit this process of withdrawing. We're first going to be focusing on the breath, then we're going to move into focusing on the mind, in particular all the mental events. Then we're going to withdraw from those mental events and we're simply going to focus on the space of the mind where all these mental events arise. And then we're going to let go of even focusing on the space of the mind and simply rest in awareness itself. So that's what we're going to do in this session. So finding a nice comfortable posture and we'll do the practice. Again, very important, as with the practice of the nostril and yesterday's practice, that this practice is on the basis of relaxation. So really make sure that we have a very relaxed body, a relaxed mind. So really be careful that we don't end up being very tense in our mind. So really relax, 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 relax. Okay? So allowing your awareness to descend into the body, letting go of any external distractions. Simply becoming aware of sensations throughout the body. And using the out-breath to relax and release any tightness or tension in any part of the body. And relaxing more deeply with each out-breath. Setting the mind in a state of ease and relaxation. Letting go of any thoughts of the past or the future. Simply allowing the mind to come to rest in the present moment. Through focusing on the sensations of the breath throughout the body. allow your eyes to be at least partially open, vacantly resting your gaze in the space in front of you. And now bring your attention to your own mind and observe your own mind and whatever is arising in the mind. Thoughts, emotions, memories, mental images. Without following any mental content, without trying to get rid of anything. Simply observe mental events as they arise and pass, without grasping to them, without becoming distracted. Find that you've got caught up in a thought and got carried away. Again, without getting upset, first thing to do is simply relax. Then release grasping onto the thought and very gently return to observing the mind. So relax, release, and return. I withdraw from all of the appearances to the mind and simply observe the space of the mind itself, the space where all appearances arise from, abide within, and then dissolve back into. So now simply observe the space of the mind. Now let go of even focusing on the space of the mind and simply release all appearances and allow the mind to come to rest. Simply be aware of being aware. Without really trying to do anything at all, without even trying to meditate, just be. Just be aware. Just be aware of being aware. All sorts of appearances will continue to arise, but now pay no attention to any appearance. Simply ignore all appearances and simply rest in the experience of awareness itself. If you notice any tightness or tension in the body or the mind, then use the out-breath to relax that tightness or tension. And simply be completely relaxed, resting in awareness.